Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, look, you know how you're always talking about how you can simulate all that stuff on your computer? You know? What's the difference? Why can't we simulate a girl?
I don't know. I guess I could, but why? It's two-dimensional on the screen. It's not flesh and blood, Gary.
Well, I know that, but, you know, we can use it. Why? We can ask it questions. We can put it in real-life sexual situations and see how it reacts. You're like, real sick, demented shit. You'd love it.
Well, what about your girl in, Canada?
She's in Canada. The girl's no morals. You know, I don't like that on a girl. It's rough having that kind of relationship, you'll see. Anyway, get to work.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darryl, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Howdy, people. Welcome to yet another edition of the Grindhouse. Grindhouse Saturdays now. Of course, that would mean the Comic Shop at 6 p.m., of course, Afternoon Radio at 7 p.m. We have a lot to get into, a lot of good news, a lot of sad news, unfortunately, with the Mr. Robert Morales passing. We'll talk about it. First up, quick nerdcore groove. And then, of course, the pulp-flavored delicious discourse. This is Adam Warrock. Mutants in America. We'll be right back. And again, let's groove.
Little child grown, little mind blown. She put a hole in the wall second she woke from sleeping. And her parents watched and they thought about she need religion or something. There wasn't nothing keeping. Another way to separate her from the kids today. She felt ugly inside and so she made her way to Jean Grey School for higher learning and stepped inside a mansion with the fire inside burning. Taught her how to focus her energy. They taught her humans were not the enemy. Just scared the same as her. Gave her a name, gave her a purpose in this world. And every time she saved a person, know they're saving her. And so the yellow and blue, maybe the black and the gold. And after all she's been through, maybe look back when you're old. Maybe a nation together that never did as they're told. And it started with saving a little girl all alone. Full of anger and the kind of rage that kept him constantly in trouble till he find his way. Maybe his eyes would shoot rays, maybe his skin was metal. Maybe he's psychic or telekinetic, man, whatever. And so they called him Mutie or Freak, even though his parents told him beauty was skin deep. But what's beneath, you know, the X gene that made him different. Yo, when Professor X would have told him you should never listen. People say that your powers are mistake. He believed that those flaws were what made you great. And look how many of us now stand tall and face the greatest challenges here on the United States. And I believe that you and me, we're not so different, cause our genes are just the way we look to people who don't see something beneath. I see it too, how can I convince you? That's my mutant power, I see the potential in you.
In America, Adam Warrock. Folks, again, this is the Comic Shop. First up, batting first, batting second, of course, is Afternoon Radio at 7 p.m. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. You know, we have our own Podcast Enterprise crew. First up is Captain Kirk. Captain, let's get to it.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And Daryl B. Daryl B.
Howdy.
What? Okay. You're usually more verbose, sir.
Hey, I'm in Atlanta. I'm taking it back, sitting back easy, so I'm chilling.
Okay, so this is a field call. Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
ATL in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the comic shop. We have a lot to get into. Before we get into the sad stuff, local comic book writer Robert Morales passes. We'll talk about that in a moment. I want to talk about something that might be sad, too, in a way. I say that in a jocular way. This deal with the Weird Science reboot. I grew up with Weird Science, loved that film, so much to the point that I knew the lines to it from beginning to end at one point. I can't do it now, but at one time, I looked at that film so much I knew the lines to it, so did many of my friends. You're talking about the period of 80s movies that really hit the mark for that time. I can't say the same for 2013, and maybe, you know, years later we'll look at it differently. But if you think about what that movie represented, John Hughes, the late John Hughes, he would probably be more connected with The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, but I would suspect that Weird Science also plays a role as far as being 80s classic cinema as well. Teen angst, teen comedy, young Robert Downey Jr., he was in it. Anthony Michael Hall, who would later be a part of SNL and then also become somewhat of a leading man in the 90s, kind of a goofy character as a child, and then grew up to be not like his childlike self, almost unrecognizable. Edward Scissorhands was another film that Anthony Michael Hall was in. So, but I'm not comfortable with this movie becoming a reboot. I mean, it's got to be done very well. You know, I don't know how they're going to approach this thing. And I just, off the cuff, you know, I was speaking to the captain before we went on air, and it didn't dawn on me. And this is, like, again, a no-brainer. Weird Science, indirectly, is a comic book movie. Just as Creepshow, also from the 80s, also part of the Tales from the Crypt series, the EC, both were based on EC Comics. Did you know that Weird Science, Daryl, was, I mean, I'm pretty sure you did, but did you know Weird Science was a comic book that was connected to the whole EC thing?
Well, it was a story in the self-titled one, because you had Weird Science, you had Creepshow, you had Tales from the Crypt, you had, honestly, the movie is not equatable to the comic, because Weird Science dealt with a lot weirder, a lot more grotesque things that developed out of a scientific nature than this. So, hey, you know what? Why are we shocked? We just had Red Dawn, you know. They've remade Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal thing. They're planning a Pretty in Pink remake. They're planning a Breakfast Club remake. So you're going to get nothing new in Hollywood. We're going to get recycled and infinitum coming up. You know, and if you really press hard on it, Weird Science has already been remade by a couple of the Disney XD shows. You know, so, hey, you know what? They're going to do it again. That's cool. The problem is, A, the sexism factor. It's a different age. Some of the jokes that were in the original Weird Science isn't going to fly today. And B, you need to get young actors who are charismatic and nerdy. That's the problem. Anthony Michael Hall, I keep on forgetting the name of the other guy. They may have been nerds, but they were very charismatic. They were able to carry their scenes. You felt for them, but at the same time, you felt the star potential. How many young actors can you say have that going on?
You couldn't tell.
I mean, Anthony Michael Hall at that time was a pure nerd. Alright? You know, you couldn't tell that he was a seasoned actor by that age. How many young seasoned actors do we have out there now? Exactly. Back to you.
Well, okay, you know what? Before I even say anything, Captain, your thoughts.
Well, it's kind of intriguing to me at this given time that Mr. He loves going back into the past and having things redone does not want this to be redone. You know, Mr. Yeah, let's redo it. Let's redo it. You know, let's redo it. He's actually holding on to his nostalgic moment and feels that this needs to stay there. That's amazing. That's totally amazing. You know? That's just totally amazing. So I find it rather interesting. Yeah.
You say he's flip-flopping.
Yeah, it's all right. You're allowed to do that. It's your own mind. It's your own mind. You know, you're allowed to flip-flop. You're allowed to do that. But we're watching you, Afro Nerd. We're watching you. That's all I'm saying. That's all.
Well, okay, listen. Your points are duly noted, sir. I'm not going to get around that. I guess this film is so personal to me. It struck a chord with me, you know, I guess for obvious reasons. I was at that awkward age, and I could relate to the character somewhat. I don't know. I mean, but, you know, what Darryl was talking about is very crucial, though, as far as the level of talent back then. Now, actually, I thought I could see some of the talent, even in Anthony Michael Hall, because, sure, it was a comedy thing, but it dealt with adult subject matter, and he was very comfortable in it. I didn't see any awkwardness with him delivering his lines. It was very, you know, he was very smooth about it. It was a magic about John Hughes films to begin with, and especially during that 80s period. There were other directors, other film houses that were trying to capitalize on that type of thing, but he had a certain niche. You know, there's a certain magic to what he was doing that is very difficult to replicate, whether during that time period or even if you're trying to get that magic back now. It is a different time. I don't know, like the captain said, I don't know if you have people, young actors, because I really haven't seen that many young actors that are able to deliver these lines. I mean, if you think of maybe the young lady that's going to be in Kick-Ass 2, You see that precocious spirit where they're able to deliver lines way beyond their age. So you could kind of see, you know, but that's like a force of nature. You know, it happens every couple of decades. You come across a child actor or young actors that are able to emote. Now, overseas, I'm not shocked. I see that. Listen, we are importing these Brits to do American work. They might have to go that route. Those guys seem to be able to get down. But I'm just a little shaky with my weird science. Speaking of, I was going to go with this as an intro, but it's a little naughty. But it's one of these clips that I just most people think is probably one of the best clips in the movie. Hold on, this clip is Gary's Blues. Hold on.
Fast man, let me tell you my story, man. Last year, I was insane for this crazy little eighth grade bitch.
Okay? Crazy, insane?
Insane? Crazy?
I was nuts for the woman, man. Now you gotta believe me. I'm serious. I'm telling the truth here. I'm speaking to you. I mean, I was nuts for the girl. And what did it to me was these big titties she had. For a 13-year-old girl, man, she would not have to worry about no titties for the rest of her life, boy. You know, she was set and she was looking good, son.
That's the truth, baby.
I called every night for like a...
Stop it. I'm going to stop it there. I'm sorry. I've never seen it in theater. The way he delivered those lines.
I could see why. You know, it's your nostalgia thing. I could see
listen,
why. Okay.
I remember the entire theater of this segment, this like on the floor. The way he delivered lines, you know, I'm telling you the truth, son. I mean, some might say it's innocuous, but to me, I thought it was like one of the funniest films I ever saw. And that's what another thing, too, is that comedy, except for maybe Ted in recent years, comedy has been a difficult thing to do. We're just not as funny. I mean, that's it. That's it. Just be careful, folks. You know, listen, Superman, Man of Steel is coming out in 2 months. So what can I say? Whether I like it or you like it, I mean, you know, maybe I might be off on this one film, but they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. Everything's being rebooted. Ad infinitum. It's going to happen. All right. Let's do a quick turnaround.
Ha!
I want to talk about... What happened now, Cap?
Nothing. I just... Nothing. Continue, sir.
Okay. I'm telling you the truth, son. Turning things around to a sadder note. Robert Morales. Brooklyn's own Robert Morales passes... at 54 years of age. Now, for those who may not be familiar with Mr. Morales, you might be more familiar with his really crucial comic book arc. I think it was a six-issue series, Daryl?
Yeah.
Actually, seven issues called Truth. Yeah, seven issues. You're correct. Truth, Red, White, and Black, which you can still pick up paperback or hardcover, or individual, or of course individual issues if you like. You might want to go to eBay for that. Anyway, Truth, Red, White, and Black, drawn by Kyle Baker, who's also a legend, written by Robert Morales, to this day is a very controversial, very crucial book that... retcons the Captain America mythos, and it makes so much sense. Now, when you go into the backstory as to how this book came about, I think Mr. Baker and Mr. Morales did. I think Morales specifically did not even think that Marvel would go for this thing. The premise of the book, which is intertwined with fantasy and reality, and it just makes perfect sense. Deals with the notion that there was a black Captain America before there was the Steve Rogers Captain America that we know from screen and from print. And how it works, tapping into reality, tapping into history, was the infamous Tuskegee experiments, where black men, at the behest of the government, unbeknownst to them being subjects, were experimented on. Many of these men had diseases. Syphilis comes to note, where they had these diseases. The government was aware that they could cure them, but they refrained from doing so, just to see what would happen. And the experiments lasted from the mid-30s to as late as the early 1970s. So you had a government that was literally experimenting on American citizenry, black citizens. And this is consistently referenced back in the black community to this day because it goes to the notion that the government cannot be trusted. And you want to know why. This is a serious thing. So Mr. Morales was able to intersperse this Tuskegee experiment historical travesty in with the Captain America mythos. And at the time, because this book came out in 2003, 2004, so it's talking about 10 years ago. At the time, there was a little bit of controversy because First of all, the notion that there would be a black American jingoistic symbol for the racist, is an unconscionable notion. So even though we've been here for 400 plus years as chattel slaves, in some eyes, in many eyes, we are still not American, even though we are as American as everybody else, maybe even more so. So yeah, those, and we go about this all the time, Daryl. We talk about this incessantly. For the fan base that you would think would be the most open-minded, they can believe a man can fly. They can believe a man can do all these feats of strength and all these cognitive abilities, and it can be a super sleuth and all that kind of stuff. They can never believe that when you darken a man's skin, that they can have these attributes. All of a sudden, it negates the mutant gene by having black skin. So this particular book was highly controversial, and you had some high-profile people that before they read the book, they had a problem with the premise. Once they read the book, then they became okay with it. I think in recent years, people have accepted that this is part of the Captain America mythos. Daryl, elaborate for our audience. Your thoughts on Robert Morales and this book.
I give Robert Morales and Kyle Baker a whole bunch of credit, and it's a shame Robert Morales didn't get to do more high-profile jobs. He did a couple books for the Marvel Max imprint. I think he had a run with the Fantastic Four Max book, and he had a run with the Punisher Max book also. But it was almost perfect timing, because Quesada wanted to make his mark, all right, and Morales wanted to do a realistic Captain America story, okay? And Morales went with Kyle Baker. Do Captain America, but if you write Kyle Baker, any of Kyle Baker's work, he's not the type to do traditional Captain America. So they came up with this. You know what? Back then, when they would do this, they wouldn't just do it on any white man. They would test the thing out on poor, uneducated Negroes, even educated Negroes, just not tell them what was in it. The book is born. That's beautiful. And not what happens in the book. What happens in the book is not beautiful, but it was step one of something that DC constantly fails to do. You know, make a book. It's a book that's grounded in reality. Right? And Marvel has to do it. Good superhero books grounded in reality. Does it always work? No. But this one, when it came out, I remember being in a couple of comic shops where guys literally, oh, this is blasphemy. And I'm reading it, and it forced, what this book forced me to do was to go and read up on the Tuskegee experiments. Because all I knew when I first picked up this book, no lie, all I knew about Tuskegee was the airmen. I knew about the flying planes. I never knew about the experiments. So I did my own digging. And from Robert Morales, thank you for that. Because it forced me to think. Let me go in. Let me look at this. And some of the stuff I saw appalled me, shocked me. Mind you, it's in the middle of a war where you need every able body to fight the quote-unquote cover of Nazi Germany. And we're doing stuff to black men that was just about as heinous as what the Germans were doing to every race in their concentration camps. You know, America can be a land of hypocrites. This book helps, show that in stark detail, right? And for all the youngsters out there, read about Tuskegee. I'm not talking about the airmen. Just read about the Tuskegee experiments. And you tell me if there's a justification for that. Back to you, Afro Nerd. Thank you, Robert Morales.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very profound words on your part, Daryl. And it is very much, very true about, I mean, obviously it's called the truth. And this book sold very well, actually. It was a very successful book. And I know, it was very, very much talked about in the comic shops, very controversial. And it angered me because it made more sense than ever. Because the reality is, if this were to be, first of all, we can't even say that there isn't such a thing as Operation Rebirth in real life. That's number one. In real life, there is an Operation Rebirth. They may not call it that, but trust me,
it's
they're working on how.
And homosexuality growth hormone.
Well, I'm not even that. I'm talking about as far as government intervention, government research, government R&D looking into making a better soldier. You better believe that is going down. That just makes sense. What even makes more sense, especially during that time period, is that they would definitely have experimented on black folks that they would figure would be lower on the American caste system. You know, poor people, black people, Latin folks. That is what they would do before they would inject a white person. Because the historical record shows that. So when you really think about it, I have to give props to Marvel in the sense that they created Steve Rogers. They had the whole square-jawed white American, that whole look, that whole aesthetic, the John Wayne aesthetic. But they were also bold enough to peel back the curtain, even though this is all fantasy, but give you a little injection of reality and say, hey, you know, before Steve Rogers would have gotten that experiment, more than likely, before they got to him, it would have gotten to a black person. So The Truth is a series that's still available, ladies and gentlemen. Go to Amazon, go to your local bookstore, go to eBay, whichever format you're comfortable in getting, whether it's the hardcover book, whether it's soft cover, or where you want to buy the individual seven books. Compelling book. Kyle Baker, someone we probably need to get on the show so we can talk about this in more in depth. And I was about to ask you, did hint at this, Daryl. Morales, I mean, guy has had a talent. Was he utilized? He really wasn't utilized that much on the part of Marvel, though, was he? I mean, he had this series. I mean, you know, for him to die at 54.
He was more a spot-fill-in type dude, you know? We need a fill-in issue. We don't know if this is thing. And honestly, that's why I gave props to Quesada on one hand, and on the other hand, you know, upon hearing the outcry, they couldn't take the other step. Give him a regular book grounded in reality. It's like at Comic Book Resources, they have articles to a couple of my blogs. Brett White, right? He's a comedian, gay comedian with the Upright Citizens Brigade, but he's a major comic fan. And this week he did a whole long thing about the character Maggot from the X-Men days.
X-Men,
right? From right. And he's going on how much he loved the character. And I go, you know what? That's cool, but the part of me that remembers Maggot is the part that questions. Finally, you have a black character from South Africa in the mutant universe, all right? A black character with no discernible white traits whatsoever, and you make him blue. You know, it's like they at that time they tried to be groundbreaking, but at the last minute they pulled stuff back. What I wanted was Robert Morales to get his hands on a mainstream book, you know, and try to ground in his reality. And they never wanted to take that step. I mean, Morales was, if you read any of his works, this one thing Morales was, he was very opinionated. He was very in your face. He made sure that you may not like his point, you may not agree with his point, but he made sure you got his point. All right? Understand this is what went down, all right? Don't try to sugarcoat the facts. Don't try to – this is what actually happened. And the truth, I can't be the only black comic book fan at that time that was ignorant to this and had his eyes open, you know? Once you see this as truth, oh, my God. You mean this isn't really just a story? This really happened to black soldiers who were only trying to defend the country? You know, once you see it, you can't unsee it. You know? Back to that, nerd.
Any thoughts on this, Captain? I know you heard about this. You're familiar with this storyline.
No, you actually – the only thought I had was – because, you know, both of you covered it very well. There's not really too much more to add onto that. Was that why 54? And why are all of these writers dying so young?
Well, black writers, we might say.
Yes,
you know, I shouldn't just say black writers, because there have been other young artists that have died. What was the gentleman from a few years ago? Darryl, phenomenal artist. I think Michael Turner passed on.
Mm-hmm.
So you've had a few, but we're talking about someone who's definitely a contemporary of Dwayne McDuffie and died
mm-hmm.
roughly around the same age.
Yes, yes. What is going on?
What comes to my mind is going back to what McDuffie tried to do with having a minority-based comic book line and creating an infrastructure for black comic book writers to flourish. Because these guys, you know, comic book writing and comic book artistry is very much a hit-or-miss proposition. You have folks like Mark Miller and all these other people that are able to make a fabulous living off of this. You have other folks that do phenomenal work, and their work is spotty. You know, it shouldn't be that way. It's I guess it could almost be across the board. It's not necessarily a racial thing, but you see that, you know, you could have the world that if your product hits with the public, you're set, or you could just be penniless somewhere. I mean, that is the irony of being a comic book writer. It's a very weird thing. You know, you're talking about intellectual property. You could create intellectual property that's worth $1 billion, or something that hits it big after you die. I was talking to a colleague yesterday talking about Philip K. Dick. Half the cinematic world is based on his work. He died. He also died. He died in his early 50s as well, and he died pretty much broke. But after he died, we are enjoying his work even to this day. Philip K. Dick's work, as Darryl can attest to, keeps on going. What is that Continuum, the Canadian series? That's definitely Philip K. Dick. And they keep on repeating it over and over again. It's a shame. All right, listen, let's go to a quick musical break. When we get back, Heroes returns, Darryl, and for some reason I'm not liking it. Don't know what to say about it.
What was that price statement, Captain, about the King of Reef got like this? I mean, bring that out.
Yeah. I'm just saying, alphas before heroes. That's what I would prefer. All right, let's go to a quick groove. Last Emperor, Secret Wars, Part 1. Let's groove.
This uplifting cinematic experience.
I've got something important to tell you, Matt.
The big story is...
Dig this and dig it deep.
What if I had the power to gather all of my favorite MCs with the illest comic book characters and they became arch enemies? Inconceivable, unbelievable, yet as wild as it seems, the Emperor and Stan Lee will coach the two opposing teams. Keep it clean, no bats, no gas, guns, or interference. Comic book characters would go head up with raw lyrics, now I take... Whoever might be on break from doing tours, and have them sign up for the last and for all secret wars. Sure, for that kind of capacity, we need a crazy large arena that might stretch from West Philadelphia to East Medina. If I'm able, I'd put it on pay-per-view through my label and give free tickets to my neighborhood bums with no cable. Yeah, that sounds bad. Now that we've squared away the propositions, let's begin with the ultimate tough man competition. Set it off, it's the fight of the century. KRS and Professor X will battle each other mentally with rhymes. These two team captains waste no time. Charles Xavier tried to invade Chris Parker's mind. He shot a cerebral probe at Chris's mind, but he missed it. Professor X taken out by the Blastmaster's metaphysics. Round two, new fight, words of life, you gotta see this. Locked in Mortal Kombat, it's Doctor Strange and the Genius. Yeah, son, he's no match, let that graphic wizard have it. My liquid sword slashes straight to Doctor Strange's magic. Another hero down, and now the score is 2-0. My words from the genius, and he's still my ramen hero. Now the next fight was conducted in a rough-like manner, specifically between Reggie Noble and Dr. David Banner. Or should I say the Incredible Hulk when he's amped off the gamma? But Reggie Noble soon became the Incredible Red Man and slammed him. You know how Red Man gets when his adrenaline starts pumping. Started skipping in the ring, so then the Thing tried to jump in. Ben Grimm leaps into the ring, and after Red Man, he lunges. But Reggie Noble dropped him with two brick city punches. Bums by the bunches, bums get dirty in the Middle Eastern dungeons. Ready to set this like Detective Columbo when his hunches. While the refs clean out the ring, cause the last fight was so intense. Let's do a live interview with a brother named Common Sense.
Yeah, it's Common Sense, a nice man. Tried to freeze me, so I took him to Chicago and told him to take it easy. He couldn't see me with my Apple Jack hat and high tops. Colossus and Cyclops, I got no idea why not.
But look at Common Sense, yo, that last album was tight. Let me get back to the ring and evaluate the next fight. Now, the next fight had to be the craziest of all times. We got Dr. Octopus
versus the mighty Buster Rock.
Doc Ock versus Buster, man, that stuff is dead. He'll get his eight arms ripped off going up against the Dread.
Uh-huh. Now, Dr. Octopus, who you think you grabbing? The guard can never lose, so you know it will never happen. Lyrically making me sleepy, you need a nap when I slap you with my dread. Lights out, you kiss the cat.
Before my eyes, I see the demise of another superhero. Next up is Roscoe versus Magneto. Now, anything goes with Magneto battles foes. But Roscoe had him shivering, delivering ultramagnetic blows. Magneto is now deceased, and a wise man said it best. The sun rises in the east, but they can still set it in the west. Now, with all these heroes down, Stan Lee refuses to surrender. He got stormed from the X-Men as if I couldn't match the gender. Stan Lee shouts,
"Hey,
yo, Stan, you best to chill.
There's no match for
I guess he's never heard of Lauryn Hill." Now, we all know Storm controls the temperature and weather. Started running off at the lip, and El Boog was like,
"Whatever."
She just got home from tour. She's a bit too tired to spar. So she clocked Storm over the head with my man Wyclef's guitar. All silence is ceased. Out of nowhere comes the Beast versus J.Ru, the Damager, the Black Prophet from the east. Releasing rhymes that will pound you into the ground. There'll be no round two. Another victory for hip-hop by the Dirty Rotten Scoundrel. Now the underground sewer system that lies deep below the ring is where the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Dr. Flex do their thing. Leonardo and Donatello, they well know that we can do this.
So kick it, crazy, hit them both with Raw.
So it. Now Raphael and Michelangelo, those two others who are brothers, Brooks smacked with the Dr. Flex logo, the manhole cover. Whether you're plant or animal, vegetable or miggity mineral, before you step to Dr. Flex, you best be hard like a criminal. Taking you back to ringside just when you thought it was over. The last battle was brought forth by G.I. Joe and Cobra, mercenaries and soldiers. G.I. Joe was rolling sticks, but I'll get the military of hip-hop, a.k.a. the boot camp click. World War III for 98 in the wake of all these troops. I could see General Buckshot going toe-to-toe with Duke. Salute the captain for rapping, cause now we know who's hard.
All right, folks, we're back once again. I had to pull out the Phaser, Last Emperor, Secret Wars. Getting back into the fold, this, of course, is the Comic Shop, Midway Point. The call-in number, don't be scared, is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. And, of course, at 7 o'clock, we have Afternerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Afternerd Radio. Feel free to check out that show as well. Okay, gentlemen, I don't know what to think about this next tidbit. Maybe at one time I would have been actually elated about this, but after having – well, first of all, there's a lot of shows that have been canceled that either myself, the captain, or Daryl will rail against as to it being taken away too soon. We've talked about Cartoon Network's debacle, you know, with Green Lantern, the animated series, and Young Justice, Alphas from Sci-Fi Network. Now, and actually, Sci-Fi is also a subsidiary of NBC, so you would figure that they would have explored Alphas before Heroes. Anyway, what I'm seeing now is that Xbox Durango, a.k.a. Xbox 720, that this thing is, look, they're looking to compete with everybody. They're looking to compete with the PS4, and I guess as a part of one-upmanship, they're having their own TV networking or TV programming with this console. So as part of this Xbox 720, part of the deal is their media package, and they're looking at reviving the Heroes series from a few years ago. And I don't know. I mean, the people are older. Even the kids are like damn near 20 years old now. Who was the kid that was that had the abilities with mechanical stuff, computers and Mike has got it. Well, Mike is not a kid anymore. So much time has passed. That kid's got to be damn near close to 20. I mean, it might be interesting to see people, but they're saying that, you know, there's going to be a new cast, but they're going don't be surprised if you see some of the old cast. What are your thoughts? I mean, in a way, listen, if they brought back, you know what I'm going to say, if they brought back the Sarah Connor Chronicles, I probably wouldn't say anything. But maybe so we get back more of that robot-human relations. Racism. Anyway, so what are your thoughts, Dowd, on this? I mean, I think, you know, listen, Heroes Season 1, that was about it. Everything else was wishful thinking.
Well, honestly, and the way they need to bring back Heroes is, I don't know if you guys ever picked up the two graphic novels that DC did. Almost Perfect, where you're showing Vignettes, these superpowered people in and out, and you get into, essentially, you're telling a different story every episode, you know, a different personal story. What the Heroes messed up, well, the writer's strike, of course, was that they went away from what Tim Kring's vision was about, okay, the second season, the characters we introduced in season one, they go to the background, and now we're dealing with a new emerging set. All right? I like that. It would give the show a Twilight Zone, Outer Limits type quality, where you could tell everything from horror to comedy to action adventure, doing that and get people involved. The problem was cost. Problem was they listened to their fans, i.e. Spider-Man 3, i.e. the prequels and Star Wars, i.e. oh, we need this, they gotta be still in it. And it derailed the story. This is a fresh start. Do Tim Kring's vision. You listen to the corporate heads, you listen to the fans, all right? And it derailed the series. Do what Kring originally planned, all right? You have 13 episodes. Make it 13 different power people. Make the focus different. You know? Do it like that, an anthology type series. You want to know what it could be like? It could be like Warren Ellis's Global Frequency just got released as a trade in the last couple of months. And each one of the stories, none of them are interconnected except for the fact that when the world is in trouble, this woman contacts you because you have special skills to get involved. And it doesn't matter nationality, it doesn't matter walk of life, it doesn't matter what you are, but you're being called to help save the world. Some of them jump at the chance. Some of them lived in mortal fear of ever getting that phone call. But what evoked the emotion, what drew you in, was how the character was going to react in that situation. And in the first season of Heroes, that's what drew us. Peter flying for the first time. Claire's shock at being able to heal instantly for everything. Her shock at the near rape and then almost killing the boy. You know, her shock, you know, all of this emotional thing came in. Peter's brother, Nathan, just being ashamed of his powers. Hero, actually, finally, I can be a hero. My name now makes sense, you know, all that joy. I have power, I can help people, but then unsure as to how he could help people. You know, that's what pulled us in, and that's what they lost in the second season, where they made everything interconnected and this wire is connected to this, and this hidden player was in the background the whole time, and this player goes to here, and then they tried to make Syra good, and stop. Just stop. You went from A to F and forgot B, C, D, and E. That's what killed you the first time. Hey, I love Sci-Fi TV. If it's written right, I'll watch. But if it isn't written right, you'll have a bunch of people like how Huffner is doing now. Why in the hell did we redo this book again? Why the hell did we go back to this show again? Why the hell are we revisiting this again? Back to you, Afro Nerd. Well, you
Can
know
I
what?
Interject?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. You see, you make a very good point, Darryl, but here's the thing. Once bitten, twice shy. All right? The first season was great. The second season was okay. The rest of it was garbage. We could sit back and go back and forth and nice, you know, talk about this, talk about that. But garbage is garbage any way you cut it, all right? Let's not even bother rebooting this. Let's bring on Alphas. Let's go with Sarah Connor, something that's really good all the way around, and let's get that started. I don't want to see Heroes anymore. Once bitten, twice shy. I was in the past. Forward moving. Let's go 2013. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd. Take it.
Well, you know, as I think about this, I think part of the problem was on the part of NBC and you know, that you had that writer's strike. It pretty much screwed up the flow of this thing. And at some point, they didn't know where to go with the storylines. They left dangling participles. they left dangling storylines. They just left you hanging. It never made any sense at some point. It just went into absurdity. It went into campiness. And that's something you just cannot do with today's audience. People approach these things seriously. I mean, heck, one of the storylines that we're supposed to be talking about, if we have enough time, is this gentleman. I mean, this is just an off-the-cuff thing. This gentleman has enough money. He's not really a wealthy, wealthy guy. I guess he's moderately successful. He essentially created his own Batcave. So you have people who really ingest this stuff culturally with a great deal of, you know, a great deal of love and passion and reality. You just can't put out stuff and just hope it works out. They started off with a great premise, and I think the deal is NBC probably never felt they knew they messed up legitimately with that series. They should have had a 5 or 7 year plan as to how this is supposed to play itself out. And you could tell the writers were grabbing for straws. And they had a stellar cast that they never really used. I mean, you had George Takei was never really used properly. Never really used to his true ability. Nichelle Nichols. You know, again, Star Trek, elder, iconic actors, never really used. And you know, this might be a minority thing, because Richard Roundtree, the great Richard Roundtree, was in this series, never really used. You know. Time and time again, I can think of black actors. Micah, never really used properly, had a phenomenal power, His father never really used. He was killed off at some point. I mean, actually, when you think about it, all the characters of color, even in the beginning series, the daughter of the Richard Roundtree character, who was dating Vito, I mean, I've got his character's name, but the main guy, she was killed off like first couple episodes. I mean, what was this scene there? And then you find out that there was a goofy ability to actually revive all these characters. If you remember, Daryl, there was a way, and yeah, the character, one of the characters, was immortal. There was a way to, because of his immortality and what was going on in his blood, you know, I don't know. They dropped the ball. If they're going to revive this series, they need to revive it to straighten out all the bugs. If not, they shouldn't even touch it. We have a call about that.
They're going to revive and make it all white. I'm calling it right now. Because there's a segment of fans out there, and I've read the forums and said, "Oh, the downfall of the series is when they had the Haitian start speaking. Oh, they introduced the girl with the photogenic reflexes like Taskmaster."
Oh yeah,
oh,
it's another one. That character was badass. That character was badass. They dropped it.
But I'm telling you that there's a segment out there of fans that cling on to this theory that it's when we allowed two of them were enough, but when half the cast started being that way, that's when the show died. I'm like, no, that's when you stop watching. No,
let's go to the phones for a moment. We got about 8 minutes remaining. Let's open up the lines and find out what our audience thinks. Caller, welcome to the Comic Shop. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, 703. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, D-Birds? George from D.C. Long time no speak. First quick thing, I want to give shouts out to Daryl B. He's doing great things over at Shadow and Act. I mean, he's doing some great things. But back to your subject. Let's be realistic. Science fiction and good writing and network television doesn't mix. And right now we're in the age of just let's stretch it out as much as we can as turkey meat. But as you saw, his latest clone, Defiance, that came out on Sci-Fi, I just don't see good quality science fiction writing on television outside of Fringe. But I don't even want to call Fringe Sci-Fi. That's another thing. So I just think they want to go home again, and the writing is not there. And it's just, I just don't see any improvement. And like you said, just to, real quickly on minority characters, I think there is a pushback. I really think there's this tipping point when a show gets too black or too multicultural, people start pushing back on it. I see the forums, but I don't know if the forums is the majority of Americans, but there is a pushback there. So I'll just hang up and listen. Take care.
Thank you. So glad he brought up Defiance. I will be talking about that in my next blog in depth, that they just can't decide which sci-fi show they want to rip off of on Defiance. one moment it's Farscape, the next moment it's Stargate, the next moment it's Halo, the next moment it's Star Trek. They just don't know what they want Defiance to be. That's the first thing there. There's some good scenes, but they just don't know what they want that to be. Hey, like I said, I've read the forums. And sci-fi fans are supposed to be able to think outside the box. But the color of a person's skin, if they're not an alien, still is a hang-up. I said hypocritical. Enough said. Afternoon.
Afro-nerd.
I'm here. I agree with a lot of what the gentleman was talking about, but there's a lot of interesting sci-fi and fantasy out here, but it's more of an a la carte kind of thing. you pick and choose, and maybe you may not want to relegate yourself to just American television, first of all. I love Utopia, which is a British conspiracy sci-fi series. When you talked about Global Frequency, I think Global Frequency is very similar to what Utopia is trying to do. Orphan Black, which I think is a BBC America, but it's filmed in Canada, appears to be going in a certain direction that I like thus far. Continuum is another series from Canada that sci-fi just picked up. I mean, there's stuff that's out here, but like you said, it gets very fishy, because I had to remind myself of what Heroes represented. Anytime there were minority characters, they were quickly dismissed. I mean, excellent. Dismiss the character when the character's whack, but when the character has a pretty cool power, and the premise is pretty cool, and you don't use it, then I have to wonder what the hell's going on here. And the series went into absurdity. Now, my understanding is they're going to bring it back with a new cast, and they'll probably have walk-ons by the older cast, the previous cast. Many of these other folks have already gone on to other series already. I mean, the gentleman that played Mohinder Suresh, Sindel Ramamurthy, he's got he plays double duty now. He's on Covert Affairs, and he's also on Beauty and the Beast. Who is the other young lady? She's Hayden Panettiere. She's on Nashville, I think. I mean, these people, Kristen Bell, I mean, she's already working, she's on House of Lies, and she's already working on another revised series. Veronica Mars actually is probably going to go through. So she's already got her hands full. I mean, I'd like to see some of these people come back. I mean, you know, but it better be good. I'm just suspicious. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Quickly, I mentioned this gentleman. It was a video of a gentleman that has his own bat cave. Essentially, he has a media room, but he has the infamous statue that he pulls back. There's a button. I mean, this guy went to a lot of thought into making this thing.
He lost.
What would you do? Yeah, he might call, but we only got about 2 minutes anyway. What, before we go to the next door, it's happening for the afternoon radio. What would you do? What would be your artifact that you could, if you had enough money to recreate? What would you do that sci-fi fantasy inspired?
Ball of Justice.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Your own Hall of Justice.
Yep. Computers and everything. Yep.
He's back. Okay.
Yep.
Darryl, quickly.
I always like the setup of it.
We only got a few moments. I mentioned about the gentleman that was able to recreate his own Batcave. If money wasn't an issue, Darryl, what would you recreate that's fantasy, sci-fi inspired?
Are you kidding? Titan Tower. Because I'd be a part of the team. I'd have a whole building full of the technological marvels, and I'd be able to have ties with each of the team members' mentors. You know,
I'm talking about in real life. Like, what would you create? Like, if you became a millionaire, what would you recreate? Now, what would you
like?
Have
like I said, Titan's Tower.
A whole
clubhouse where you could work with other teams, harnessing your skills. Yo, I'd be Professor X in that thing. I mean, it's easy to say danger room. Okay, that's a room. I want a whole tower. Just call me Tim Drake. You know,
so that would be kind of cool to have your own tea tower. Listen, gentlemen, we have to go. Next door. Darryl, it's been real. Enjoy yourself in the ATL. Be safe. We'll do it again next week. And stay tuned. Stick around after the radio next.
Spock with a beard?
I think not.
button up that collar. Suck in that gut. Tuck in them big black lips. Lighten your skin. Shrink up that nose.
I don't have to listen to this.
Where you going, boy?
Let me buy.
Let you buy? Let you buy. Let me tell you something, boy. You can march like the white man. You can talk like him. You can learn his songs. You can even wear his suits, but you ain't never gonna be nothing to him but an ugly-ass chimp in a blue suit. Oh, you don't like that, do you?
No.
Well, what are we gonna do about it? You want to fight me, boy? Huh? What you gonna do about it? You want to fight me, don't you? Don't you? Come on, Nick.
All right.
Hey, get your hands off me, Grave Digger.
Damn it. Does the whole world got to stomp in your face?
Nigga, you better get your hands off me.
Ain't no niggas around here, you hear me?
Oh, I see. So the white man give you a couple of stripes, next thing you know, you hollering, ordering everybody around like you the master himself. Nigga, you ain't nothing but the white man's dog.
What are you? So full of hate, you just want to go out and fight everybody. Because you've been whipped and chased by hounds. Well, that might not be living, but it's sure as hell I ain't dying. And dying's what these white...
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funk and lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
You know, folks, I cut that clip a bit too quick, and my apologies go out to our listening audience. Again, that was... really a tour de force there with Morgan Freeman, Andre Brower, and of course the mighty Denzel Washington. Glory, 1989, I believe, was it? Yeah, 1989, 1990s, Glory. Compelling. Compelling work. Anyway, listen, it is Afternoon Radio, Saturday. Who would have thunk it? 7 p.m. We have a lot to get into. We have to discuss the obvious. They caught the villain, or should I say villains. One is dead, one is half alive, I gather. I don't know what's going on, but we have to discuss it. A lot to unpack with that story, ladies and gentlemen. A lot to unpack. We don't know if it was based on terrorism. There's issues of skin tone, issues of faulty reporting. Alex Jones, radio host, believes it didn't really happen. I mean, it's a wacky, tragic, horrific story. Anyway, after featuring Captain Kirk, the Grindhouse, 646-915-9620. Give us a buzz. First up, a quick groove. This is by the Brand New Heavies, giving you the best of urban alternative music, folks. Sometimes, Brand New Heavies. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
Come on, ma, we got to make things right. Sometimes we really need to make things right. Come on, ma, we got to make things right. It's the abstract, baby, got to make things right.
Talking about a revolution, or maybe just a change of mind. Working on my constitution, I began to realize I've been doing wrong forever.
that's enough for you people. I don't think you can handle that groove once again. This is sometimes, brand new heavies. Folks, Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, the Grindhouse, Saturday. Speaking of the Captain, you're needed on the bridge. Post haste. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Show.
Definitely. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to talk about the obvious. Actually, you know what, Captain? I want to just go off on a riff for like 3 to 5 minutes, and then we'll get into this tragedy that's hopefully it's come to some kind of end. I can't say resolution, but some kind of ending. It's all a big mess. But I was thinking about this incident, and actually, if you think of how these incidents, plural, are culminating into a type of maelstrom of violence. I mean, our culture is becoming more and more violent on a high body count level. That, if follow me on this, it's my own personal insanity. But it implies that we have reached a weird sort of sick equality. Now, what is he talking about? What I'm saying is, and I really was regretful that I did not get a chance to talk about this from the last broadcast. As our stalwart listenership knows, we rail and rail and rail against inner city dysfunction weekly. Personally, it's daily, but to you, it's weekly. And I said, or I meant to say from the last show, no one thinks that black and brown folk are worthy of an intervention. Let me repeat that. The mainstream culture, one would get the impression, mainstream and the underclass, you will get the impression that black and brown folk are unworthy of an intervention. But then I got an epiphany and said, wait a minute. We saw how this vote went down last week, Captain, with the gun registration, something that you would think makes perfect sense. If we're to believe statistics and polling, 90% of the American public would prefer some kind of background check when a gun comes down to having gun acquisitions. And it was knocked down. They were unable to get the vote. Congress was unable to get the vote to initiate something that you would really not think is controversial. Now, I said a few months ago, with the tragedy that occurred at the Sandy Hook School in Newtown, Connecticut. Once you saw predominantly white young babies, white children being killed, I said, oh, they gotta do something. Something's surely going to happen now. They're going to get a handle on this stuff. Not the case. We've reached a sick kind of equality where the intervention that we've been asking for has not taken place in the inner city, but is not taking place in suburbia and exurbia either. Suburbia and exurbia are also equally imploding in a different way, however violent, and they are not looking at their lives as being as high value as I would think they would have. So we have reached a sick kind of equality where Black babies, brown babies are dying and have been dying in a very routine, matter-of-fact way. No intervention. Now we're seeing massacres on a high level of white citizenry. No intervention. We've reached equality, people, in a sick way. Just food for thought. Just food for thought. High commerce, gun lobbyists, that is the law of the land. Your senators, your congressmen have been paid off by the gun lobbyists, and they don't care about you. They don't care about you. You have to get a background check in certain states to have a pit bull, but you don't have to have a background check, not with any teeth, for an AK-47 or any of these other weapons of war. They don't care about you. Maybe we have reached equality, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just saying. You know, you're welcome to agree or disagree. Captain, your thoughts?
I agree with what you're saying. I totally agree with what you're saying. But when the masses of people are wage slaves, why do you totally care about a slave? Not totally. Slaves are property, yes, if you're a wage slave. As long as you can function and go to your job and keep things going and come back home and keep things going, why should I care if I am at the top of the pyramid? There's no reason to. A couple of you die, no problem. Someone else will take your spot. No big deal. There's no reason to care. Out of your chaos, I will rule if I'm on the top. So you're absolutely right. I agree with you. Let's go forward, sir. Well said.
Well, you know what? One would think, or one would be used to the fact that little Lakeisha, little Quinacia, Shaquan, Tyrone, that ilk, no one cares about them. Now it has transmogrified into little Timmy, little James, little Kathy in suburbia. They don't care about them either. You know what? One quick thing just to prove that, and then we're going to move along. A radio show host, I'm not sure if he still has his job, but I suspect that he does. I believe he was broadcasting out of Minnesota, either Minnesota or Indiana, one of those two. He said at the heels of what happened with this legislation being shot down, he said, and I'm not really paraphrasing here, Captain, I feel for your deaths, your tragedy, talking about the parents of the Newtown children that were killed a few months ago. He gave some off the cuff condolences, but he said these people are being used as fops by the Obama administration. They don't know. They're not aware. They're not sophisticated enough to know that they're being used. And if you are insisting on taking my gun rights away, to hell with you. You can go to hell. He says that to the parents of children that were grotesquely killed. These gunshots dismembered these children. So if it's going down like that, Captain, it is what it is. Equality has truly been reached in a sick way. In a sick way. All right. More murder, death, kill stories. Obviously, the main one is from last week, stemming from the Boston Marathon, where two bombs essentially simultaneously went off. I think there might have been a 16-second span of time between these bombs going off. And we heard of, speaking of dismemberment, ankles, feet, legs being blown apart, children being killed, young people being killed, promising young people being killed. And now also, you know, we're also hearing that the news, the media, not really giving you correct information. That is why It is more important than ever. I'm not going to give you all this hubris and say, oh, just to listen to Afro Nerd, although you should. But listen to Blog Talk. Get your podcast in order. You're going to have to find alternative ways of acquiring information. Matter of fact, Twitter might be a better way to get information than mainstream media. Shouting out John King from CNN. Reverend Sharpton, who I'm no fan of, but I have to admit, I've lessened a bit. Lessened my heel on his neck, Captain, because he has become more corporate. He's no longer, we have to really be conscious of his rise. This gentleman was one of those street preachers. He was, the right lampooning Obama for being constantly, Captain? He's a community organizer, I think, they kept on saying.
Okay.
That is, trying to, as if there was something wrong with someone from Harvard going back into the community, they tried to lambaste him on that. And that is what Reverend Sharpton was. No longer. Reverend Sharpton is part of the media now. He went from velour tracksuits and Little Richard hairdos to, well, being somewhat better coiffed, certainly better suits. The Oracle and myself are definitely clothes horses, and I can tell when someone knows how to dress. He has very good. He's dressing him. I doubt he's dressing himself, but who's ever behind him has definitely corporatized his look. So I don't know. I've lessened the hate toward him, or lessened my, I don't say hate, but lessened my disdain for him somewhat. But he got on Mr. King at CNN for talking about the alleged perpetrators as being dark-skinned. Oh, we're getting breaking news now. We're getting breaking news that the perps appear to be dark-skinned. More news developing. Now, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Dark-skinned means nothing. Or does it? That's as if saying, we're hearing they're tall. They're tall. More news developing. That is what the equivalent is. That is what the equivalent is, Captain. Wait a minute. Breaking news. It's being wired in. I'm hearing that they have a great sense of smell. They can smell. More news developing. Come on now. People fail to realize that dark skin within itself is a benign characteristic. It means nothing. Having dark skin, being tall, short, being thin, muscular, heavy set, they're just descriptors. They mean nothing else beyond that. So for him to say blatantly, that the perpetrators are dark skinned, we're going, listen, Boston has a history of that. I don't know if they want to revisit that. The Stewart case, if I'm not mistaken, where they put out all points bulletin for a black perpetrator and then proceeded to upend the entire black community looking for some innocuous black person that could have been Joe Black anybody. So we're going back into that thing again, but this time the news source is CNN, Captain, and it just so happens that this occurs when the folks of color have been pushed out by the new regime. How does that happen? How does that happen? Our friend Soledad O'Brien, who we were fortunate enough to interview a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, she's gone. Roland Martin's gone. T.J. Holmes is gone. This happens when the folks of color are gone to checkmate him. So this is just one story. This is just one facet of this crazed, tragic bombing. Let's go to a quick clip. and we'll try to unpack even further. This is the Young Turks talking about this infamous skin game I just told you about. Hold on. Let's get to it.
CNN, along with, honestly, other outlets like AP and Fox News, jumped the gun again. This was in the case of the Boston bombings. They were positive that the man had been arrested. Now, not all the media failed on this. NBC's Pete Williams insisted over and over again there was no arrest made, but CNN was insistent. Now, the problem was throughout the day they began to realize that they were wrong, that a man had not been arrested in the bombings. So we've put together the collection of those videos mashed up for you in a simple clip here.
I was essentially told we have one person in focus. That's our focus right now. We're going to try to apprehend that suspect that they did concede. They've clearly identified. We are now told that arrest has been made.
I shouldn't say this on TV, but this is a good time when TV unfolds. Wait, maybe faster. So there is a difference between the identification, which everyone can confirm now, right? Everyone is saying it. So this may be look very different in about an hour if we learn that there has been no arrest.
Right.
But the good news is that at least there's an identification of an individual. So
well,
this
a
is
suspect can be taken into custody without an arrest.
Right, so this is all the terminology. But
I have actually three separate sources, but two that are very highly placed and close to the investigation that have just told me that there has been no arrest. And, in fact, a suspect has not been identified by name yet, that they have... they're looking for someone, but they don't have anybody in custody yet, and they don't have an identification.
Oops. Now, look, here's the problem. They're on TV the whole time. They got to say something. They're dying to break a story so they can say, we're the most trusted name in news. We got it first. But, hey, calm down, man. It doesn't really matter. And now they're so worried about, oh, my God, Twitter's going to get it first. Of course Twitter's going to get it first. You know why? Because there's constantly at least 100 people, probably 1,000 people on any given issue, constantly saying something. So there's someone constantly saying, they got the suspect, they arrested him, arrested him, arrested him. It doesn't matter if they're wrong. They're random dudes in the middle of the country. It matters if you're wrong. So you're not going to beat Twitter. Calm down. Okay? And it doesn't matter if you beat MSNBC or ABC News by a fraction of a second. To me, getting a prize for that is so silly. Why do you care so much? And then what does it do? It winds up embarrassing you anyway. Look, I don't even mind that they got this wrong that much. Okay, so then they fixed it a couple of hours later. So what? Or a couple of minutes later. I don't care. What I care a lot more about is that CNN doesn't do real investigative pieces, is not a real watchdog for the government, doesn't go in and find out what our government is up to and hold them accountable. Whether they get this a minute early or a minute late, just, God, they care so much about so things that are so inconsequential. So now John King wants to get more news out there, right? So he's going to throw out this little extra piece of speculation.
A physical description was given to me of the suspect. Wolf, I want to be very careful here because this is very sensitive information. The description given to me was that it's a dark-skinned individual, and I want to just stop there. Further descriptives were given by this source, but it was a background conversation that I'm not willing to discuss it on the record right now. Given the sensitivity while we get into these things, you heard Governor Patrick saying yesterday, it's so important that the people of Massachusetts and the country, for that matter, in his words, turn to each other, not against each other. It was described to me as a dark-skinned male individual.
You know, I love the preface. You know, I really want to be careful here, just as he's about to be extraordinarily uncareful. No, don't say it. If you're not sure, don't say it. So is it a dark-skinned male? Who knows? There's now a new report saying that it's a white guy that was wearing a baseball cap backwards, which is about 50% of the males in Boston. Okay. So now, look, this has consequences. And the consequences is, first of all, there was a report earlier that, remember when they thought that the Boston police were guarding a person of that they suspected at one of the hospitals right after the bombing? Do you know, we found out today, that a bunch of guys had showed up with a bat at the hospital. Okay. It turns out it was the wrong guy. Remember the Saudi guy that they tackled and then the police questioned and they went and searched his home because he was running away from the bomb like everyone else on the scene. Well, what if they had gotten him first? What if the vigilantes had taken action on him? He was the wrong guy. He's cleared. He's totally innocent. It wasn't him. So now John King throws out this, Oh, well, dark-skinned guy. And what does that mean? Is that black, Latino, Muslim? I guess he's implying Muslim. And so Wolf Blitzer, without saying it, wants to imply it a little bit more. So he says this.
And we can't say whether the person spoke with a foreign accent or an American accent or anything like that. That would be premature.
You see, come on, that kind of implications, when you don't know anything, you've got the story totally wrong, is actually much worse than saying he's been arrested or hasn't been arrested.
Okay, I'm going to stop it there, ladies and gentlemen. Now I want to go to Sharpton, which is even quicker, Captain. Sharpton, on his own show, Politics Nation, breaks it down in his own Sharptonian way. It's about a minute and a half. Let's listen to Sharpton unpacking on this whole racial faux pas CNN situation. Hold on.
A reporting error in a painful situation is bad enough, especially with victims and families and so much of the country eagerly waiting to see who will be brought to justice for the murders in Boston. Still, mistakes do happen, and we all understand that. But there was another part of this failure that deeply troubled me. It was what the CNN reporter John King said when he was describing the person supposedly under arrest.
Well, I want to be very careful about this because people get very sensitive when you say these things. I was told by one of these sources who was a law enforcement official that this was a dark-skinned male. I'm making a personal judgment, forgive me, but I think it's the right judgment, not to try to inflame tension. They say it is a dark-skinned male.
Dark-skinned male, coded, offensive language. Here's how the Washington Post media writer Eric Wimple wrote about this. In a story like this, reporters justifiably feel pressure to pass along any and all details that they extract from their law enforcement sources. After all, why wouldn't you? Well, in this case, you wouldn't. Because dark-skinned male is useless information that borders on inflammatory. King apparently approached this tidbit with a mindset of restraint, saying he withheld certain details that he learned from his killer source. So why did he put dark-skinned into the same basket? If the police were searching for this individual, what assistance would the dark-skinned description offer? Should King have mentioned that the suspect had two eyes and a nose? Not two eyes and a nose, but a dark-skinned male. These comments are very offensive. They have no place in our discourse, especially in a time when Americans, inspired by the example of the people in Boston, are coming together as one. What King's word did is to make every dark-skinned male in Boston a suspect, and that's shameful.
All right, we're back. Again, we're talking about some of the different facets of this Boston tragedy. Any thoughts on what we're on this so, thus far, Captain?
Now you see why I rail against the machine when I say MSNBC, Fox News, CNN for the last year and a half, or even longer. You know, I have been railing against this machine. You see, the basic axiom here in America, not everything happens the way it seems. Some things do. Now, we interviewed Hilton Ariel Ruiz on this show, aspiring, you know, filmmaker. He has the book 40 Deuce and everything else. He had the zombie shooting in his house, right? Just to be brief, he told the media the story. The media went ahead and decided, all of them, to tell the story in a different manner. That's not what happened. He came on the show here and he said the same thing. So not all the time, but sometimes the media just gets it wrong because they're idiots, or because for their own personal gain, because it sounds better doing it that way. You know, and that's just the reality of it. And these individuals, big. These are big time TV stations. Not little, big time. sound like a bunch of idiots. They are morons. Did not sound professional at all. Left foot, right foot, what is going on? Bad, 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 bad. Back over to you, Sir Affleman. That's all.
Well, listen, this has been happening for quite some time now. I mean, I might have mentioned this on air before. You know, the media, or the early underpinnings of the media, newspaper men, I'm talking about, let's say, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Let's say I can even modernize it more. Someone like William Randolph Hearst. These guys came from wealth, but they looked at journalism at that point as a public service. It was never seen as a money making proposition. I mean, there's certain things that, how can I put this? Well, actually, Hearst has his dabbling in yellow journalism too. So you could almost go to him too. But there were still newspaper men going back some time. That the approach to journalism was a little different than what we're seeing now. Now it's so much connected to the corporate structure that if there's money involved in anything, it's going to distort things. Is going to spin things. And that's where we are right now. I mean, you know, everyone has a spin. No one knows the truth. It has gotten exponentially far more grievous now, Captain, when I hear people in the street in my daily travels, when you hear them talk about certain topics, no one believes anything. I mean, Alex Jones, I mentioned that earlier in the broadcast. He came out, and you even sent this to me in an email, his whole monologue on his belief that this was an orchestrated event. I mean, you just can't have these people spouting inaccuracies. I mean, don't report – just report what you know. See, that's another thing, too. We have so much much money and access – and being a pundit. And, you know, one might say that's what we're doing. But we don't go on air. We try our hardest not to go on air with inaccuracies. I mean, these people, you know, you could tell they're in a quest for ratings and just throwing out speculation. You know, during a time like this, I mean, you know, literally the town of Waterton, Massachusetts, where they ultimately found one of the perps, was on lockdown. The city was on lockdown. Not the time to be throwing out inaccuracies. But they did it anyway. So the media, as the captain has so aptly said, not worth a damn right now. And we've caused a community to not trust anything. Nothing is real. And then this is culminated with our penchant for surreality. Surreality, non-reality, virtual reality. When you have that in this, when you have shows that are called reality shows, but they're not real, they're scripted.
Good point.
And things are happening in such a way where they're surreal. Not real. Surreal. It's sort of real, but not quite real. It's wreaking havoc. It's going to wreak havoc with our educational system, Captain. How can we verify anything if no one believes something? There is such a thing as a fact. Now, we have a whole generation that they do not toil in facts. Heck, many of us rely on Wikipedia. Wikipedia is a horrible place to go to get facts. But people rely on it now. So, truly disturbing, and what even makes it more comical, I guess, is that we're not talking about dark-skinned perpetrators now. We're talking about a brother team, a younger and older brother, that were from Chechnya, which was a part of Russia. Matter of fact, we're talking about their homeland is the Caucasus Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not dark-skinned. although their predominant religion is Islam, so they're going to make that, and I've heard it already. They're going to make that Islamic connection. They're going to. But we're talking about the Caucasus Mountains are located in Chechnya. So, I mean, this is also the homeland of the Kardashians. Armenians are part of the ethnic group that comprise Chechnya. Ukrainians, Armenians, Russians. I mean, this is the group that comprises that region of the world. So, here's another clip, Captain. Let's unpack this. This is more, actually, this is from Russia Today, which is a news service on YouTube. And I was waiting for them specifically to come out with something. I do notice that when it has a Western spin on it, they're quick to react. Now that this was from Russians, they were very slow to react. What's up with that? Russia Today is always quick when it's an American debacle. When this is coming from their direction, they're kind of slow on the draw on this one. I'm just saying. I had a hard time finding this clip. Where other things, never hard. Hold on. This is Russia Today discussing these Chechenian bombers. Excuse me. Hold on.
All right, more details are emerging about the identities of the suspects. And RT's Alexei Yaroshevsky can tell us more. Alexei, so there are unconfirmed reports that both suspects were from the North Caucasus, but these are people who lived abroad. What do we know so far?
Well, we know little so far. It's actually yet to be determined whether these guys actually lived in Russia at some point of time, or maybe they emigrated a long time ago, because we used to have a huge problem here in Russia with the Chechen terrorism. We had a war, in fact, in Chechnya, and there was a huge outflow of people from the North Caucasian Republic. And the question is whether these two suspects had actually anything to do with North Caucasus for the past decade or so. Because after the war, many people emigrated. Some of them were just looking for a peaceful life. Some of them had affiliation with terrorist groups, and they were fighting the war here against the federal forces on the Russian soil. So, you can see Chechens now anywhere in Europe, in France, in England, even in the United States, as far as in the United States. Most of them were given political asylum there. And the question is whether these guys had actually anything to do with terrorist organizations, whether they have any affiliation with any known terrorist organizations at the moment.
Well, we'll obviously keep our viewers updated on exactly what and who are they and if they have lived abroad. Do you think they did live abroad? I mean, did these suspects have anything to do with Chechnya today?
I don't think so, because many of them emigrated a decade ago. I mean, we don't have the war now. We don't have it for the last, like, almost 10 years now. And the reality is, like, most of them left. I saw myself on the French Riviera in a luxurious resort, Chechens riding with guns and Chechen flags. It doesn't necessarily mean they're terrorists or anything, but, you know, if these guys prove to be terrorists and belonging to Al-Qaeda or any other terrorist organization, that certainly means that old habits die hard. And not all of them are left to look for a peaceful life. Some of them left to continue their criminal activities and killing people and doing horrible stuff.
We are, of course, Alexei, right now, what our viewers are looking at now is the two pictures of the suspects who we are not officially sure whether they actually do come from the North Caucasus, but there are reports saying that they do. So we just want to make sure that our viewers know that these are just reports that are coming out. We will get clear confirmation in the next couple of updates as we continue with the story. Alexei Yaroshevsky in the studio with me, just giving us an update on those two supposedly brothers who may or may not be from the North Caucasus.
All right, we're back again. That was courtesy of Russia Today. Definitely check them out on YouTube. Horror show. One of the brothers was killed. They did get the other perp. He's been captured. Who knows what's going to happen to him? What do you think, Captain?
I don't know. I don't know. The only thing I do know, two bombs went off. That I do know. You know, everything else, you know, is really up in the air. You know, that I do know. Two bombs went off. I know that. People were hurt. People scattered. That's for sure. Everything else, I don't know. Just don't know.
There's been so much misinformation on this thing, too. It's still, you know, it's so much, you know, fantasy mixed in with fact, even to this day. I mean, again, we're talking about, let me give more specifics. The brothers in question from Chechnya, Zokar and Tamerlan Tsarnaev. Actually, when I first saw their surname, I said, wait a minute, those surnames sound a bit Slavic. What's going on here? It's not exactly what I was thinking or what you were led to believe, but I distinctly remember seeing the CNN broadcast, and it had scrolling underneath, dark-skinned or black male. Now
wow.
We're talking about folks from the Caucasus region. But they're Islamic.
The Caucasus Mountain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're Islamic, so they're going to play that up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play that up. So it is what it is. It's however you put it, it's still a tragedy. So I think we should go to a quick transition. Actually, I'm trying to find if I can get to another musical clip. You know what? I can't quite get to the music, Captain. I'm stuck here. I'll let it be your choice. Let's go to a quick musical break and then of your choosing, and then we'll come back. And actually, I want to talk about this young lady that made some changes in order for her to get a job. We've been meaning to talk
heavy.
About this.
That's heavy.
She changed her profile on her resume when they knew she was black or they theorized she was black. No callbacks. When she changed it up, plenty of callbacks. You got to talk about it.
All right, let's go with this. The overweight lovers in the house. Heavy D.
Right back.
Smoker jacket on, the fireplace is burning and the girlie is warm. Time to make my move, so gently I kiss her, whisper in her ear and tell her that I miss her. She might try to pop that boyfriend's junk, but I don't really care because I know he's a punk. I'll stop him like a roach if he tries to approach. He can't get close because I'm the one who wrote the book of romance. So come on, take a chance. You don't need a long look, all you need is a glance. If you want to get warm, in my arms you belong. You have a problem, have a problem if it can't go wrong. When overweight lovers in the house,
the house,
the overweight lovers in the house,
the house,
the overweight lovers in the house,
the overweight lovers in the house.
You said I couldn't do it, then it got done. And after you and I did it, you said it was fun. Now every day of your life you want to be with me. When you got time to spend, you spend time with Heavy D. I noticed that you hold me gentle as a rose. I'm rough and tough, baby, but then I suppose that I had to be held in order to start holding. I think I got your hint, so let's start rolling.
The overweight lovers in the house,
the house.
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 The overweight lovers in the house.
The overweight lovers in the house.
Lovers in the
house. The overweight lovers in the house. look at you. Then we touch lips, we roll around in the sand. Later on, hold hands, walk by the beach, and I can teach you heavy D's game plan. See the way that I am, here's a big lover man. Check out the rhyming, in due time, you'll be a heavy D's fan. I'm swift, you know, and overweight Romeo. Come get a piece of the beat, because it's good to go. MC Heavy D, oh, ladies, I'm hooking. Big extra long, but still good looking. For you run out of swing on a romance spree, all you gotta do is lean on me, because the overweight lover's in the house. I'm an overweight lover, entertainer of many. Now when I do a party, now I mean I do plenty. Girls inside the crowd see the gold berserk. They start yelling and screaming.
Heavy D, go to work!
And when I'm through rocking and chilling at the disco, they grab me up and squeeze me up, they just won't let go. That's when I know that there's been too much charming. I put them in a line and say, please don't squeeze the charming. The overweight lover's in the house. 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 The overweight lover's in the house.
Can I just say one thing, Afro Man?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Not for nothing, you know. He just, not to be too nostalgic, but he sounds better to me than a lot of these individuals that you hear right now. On that little simple record, he wasn't rhyming too hard. He wasn't getting too lyrical, but he just sounds better. And it was done effortlessly, very much in the pocket. It just sounds better, you know. That's just me, though. You know? That's all.
Your opinion is wrong, sir. Kendrick Lamar. Waka Flocka. Come on. You got to stop this. You got to get with it. Lil Wayne. All those phenomenal minstrels and their minstrel work. That's what's happening. That's what's hot.
I guess
so. That's what I'm hearing. Who's that fool that has a tattoo of an ice cream on his cheek? Gucci Mane.
Gucci Mane.
He's a lyrical genius, for what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Folks, you know I'm on some kind of narcotic if I'm talking this way. Surely. No, Heavy D, he is sorely missed. And you're never going to convince these folks that are into this minstrel music that what was once hip-hop that actually was on a certain trajectory, and now we are back to blackface, essentially. Blackface, criminal thuggery on wax, you know, raping women, making excuses for it, losing $5 million Reebok contracts. That's what's up, from what I hear. All right, quickly, enough of my nonsense. There's something that was brought to my attention regarding a young lady that did an experiment because she's been out of work for 2 years. And she has, from my understanding, what she perceived to be a black name or a black-sounding name. And her resume, her resume was submitted with her name. No responses. She changed her profile, not her accomplishments, not her resume, just her profile. She received many callbacks, many responses. So I'm going to go to the Parkman Show, again, courtesy of YouTube, and they're going to unpack this story. It's very fascinating. Hold on.
An unemployed black woman pretends to be white, and the number of job offers she gets go way up. This is an interesting article on Techieville by Yolanda Spivey. Yolanda Spivey is a black woman. She was unemployed 2 years. She applied to over 300 open jobs in insurance, which is where she worked for 10 years, definitely her area of expertise and experience. She did not get a single response. She went back to college, finished her degree, applied again, wasn't getting any responses to the jobs she applied to on Monster.com. So Monster has a diversity questionnaire which asks you about your race. You can decline to disclose that. And they say it will not jeopardize your chances of getting a job. It's just kind of for informational purposes. You can't skip the question, but you can say decline to identify. So Yolanda Spivey thought maybe that's hurting me. She goes into her Monster.com profile and she changes it to decline to identify. Isn't hearing back from anybody. She hears she thinks of another idea. She goes back in. She creates a fake applicant named Bianca White, fills in the identical employment history, identical resume, identical education as her real self, Yolanda Spivey, changes the phone number from her home phone to her cell phone so that it can't be linked back to her original profile, and then she puts White on the diversity questionnaire. Phone call, same day. Emails, packed, same day. She gets a whole bunch of job offers in the field of insurance. In 1 week, she received 9 phone calls as Bianca White and none as African-American Yolanda Spivey, and she received 7 emails as Bianca White and only 2 as Yolanda Spivey. Both were for commission-only positions that required her to move out of state. Now, what do you think about this? I'm not surprised. When I first read about this, I said, yeah, there's a lot of individuals who want to hire specifically white people. I'm not surprised in any way.
Right.
But this is really kind of like this is an A-B test in a compelling way that really shows it's the same credentials. She just changed her name and race.
Yeah. And, of course, it's probably even more possible that if she pretended to be a man, that that might have gone up too, because we know that there's still a lot of, bad stuff going on, inequality in that department.
I actually had a similar situation, which is I messed around with this. When I was in undergrad, I think I was a junior or something like that, in my summer of junior year, I started applying to a bunch of different jobs, and I saw this diversity question. Now, according to the U.S. Census, I'm Hispanic, right? I'm born in Argentina. My first language is Spanish. Even though my background is Eastern European Jewish and I'm completely identical genetically as to what I would be if my family came straight to the U.S. instead of to Argentina, according to the census, I'm Hispanic. And I did some testing. I made a profile where I put white, and I made a profile where I said Hispanic and identified myself as a diversity candidate. And it's very anecdotal. I don't pretend to say it was any kind of scientific study, but the results mirrored what Yolanda Spivey had here. Which is that there was more interest, more callbacks, and more interviews under my white David Pakman profile. So,
yeah.
Again, completely anecdotal, but interesting that Yolanda did this.
Yeah, I think the results pretty much speak for themselves.
Wow. What do you think, Catherine? I mean, I guess we know this is how it works. We do know that. We don't want to admit it, but that's how it works. That's why we've also, another meme on AfroNerd is being honest about how some within the African American community, what they're naming some of their offspring: Lakeisha, Trikeisha, Shaquan, Raekwon. Mr. Starks told me recently that one of his students, his mother said his name is Life. You have to call him Life. That's his first name, Life. You're going to put Life? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Pardon me. Forever. His name is Forever. His middle name is Life. He wants to be called Life, but his first name is Forever. So can you put Forever Jenkins on a resume and expect for that resume to be taken seriously? I mean,
Good name for
Yolanda,
about it.
Yolanda Spivey, to me, is not grotesque, but someone deduced that it's black, it's tracking as black. What are your thoughts?
Well, we speak about this at ad nauseum on this show, at ad nauseum. The problem is this, this is not new. This has been going on since from the time we've got here, since coming out of slavery 1865, until now. This is not a new meme at all in any way, shape, or form. The other problem is this. A lot of us just don't get it. They feel that, okay, my name is Shaquita, Raekwon, that these people, the powers that be, should just go ahead and say, okay, I'm going to hire you. Yeah, fine. In a perfect world, yes, they should. If you have the credentials, absolutely. But we're not in a perfect world. And then it gets more sinister. Even if your name, at times, you might have a nice name like Kirk M. Goodall or Desmond Burton, they still might not hire you. once they find out who you are, that your skin is black. But I gather this from all of this. I will have a better chance than you if your name is Raekwon, Jaquan, provided the credentials are the same, getting hired. That's all. That's what you must understand. It is what it is. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Derby.
Be careful with that. You know, there's another gentleman on YouTube that's his tagline. Interesting fellow, Michael. He's pretty interesting. I'm going to give him some props here and there. Some of what he says is pretty rugged. I might not use the same language style, but he's saying some pretty rough things trying to help black folk. To what degree, I don't know, but he's pretty rugged. You know, we got about a minute or so remaining, Captain. I want to throw this out here. We've got to make efforts to contact Chauncey DeVega. Chauncey DeVega is the gentleman that wrote that piece on the S&M bondage and discipline piece that we got to talk to him because, you know what, folks, if you want to go into the archives, a few weeks ago, maybe two or three shows ago, we talked about this. Where did it come from? Sergio sent it to me. I can't remember the name of the Daily Coast. Daily Coast wrote this piece about this. Well, Chauncey wrote this piece about this S&M plantation club where black folks willingly participate, black and white people willingly participate in sexually inspired games with slavery as a backdrop. Plantations devoted to sick sexual fantasy, taking us back again to the 1800s. We got to talk. Why this isn't a bigger story, I don't know. This is what I mean by the media. Wouldn't you think the media would talk about weird sexual games that black and white participants, willing black and white participants, go into that they participate in, harkening back to slavery? Why isn't that a bigger story? I think it's crazy. All right, we're going to try to get that gentleman. We're going to talk about that more because it's just crazy to me. All right, folks, it's been real. See us back on Wednesday for the midweek show. We're going to go on out on Jimi Hendrix, Jammin'. See you on Wednesday.